I think a couple of people who came and talked to me after the message last Sunday, because I share about heaven and I share about the experience of one young boy who knew that he was going to die, and but he has a very close relationship with God. The couple of people who shared with me felt that because this boy was from a Catholic background and his understanding about the Lord's table and maybe other thing as well, that is very much Catholic. It's not strictly speaking according to the scripture, somebody's understanding. But I guess when I was preparing the message last Sunday, I shared that video because my focus was on how theologically sound he was. But it's more of his relationship with God that touches me. But I really thank those couple of people who actually shared with me, because I had to be a bit more careful, because if he's not right theologically, then it might stumble some people, and their concerns are actually quite correct. So I thank them. I studied church history, and I know that in the long period of church history, there was a time there's no other religious organization. If you want to be a Christian, there's only the Roman Catholic Church. But still, in that period of time, even some people even call it the Dark Ages, there are still saints. There are still people who really know the Lord Jesus and have a close relationship with Him in that dark period. So I really hope that what Garvin's experience can encourage you in the sense of his relationship with God that is very close. That is what touches me, and I share that. But I do apologize if it stumbled anyone, and if you have any more concern about what I shared last week, please come and talk to me.
Well, so I want to share about the Friday Bible study, which is in Chinese. I'm not sure how many people went, but I found that it's an interesting exercise that we did. We were reading 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and there was one topic in that chapter asking, it's about whether it's okay to eat food that has been dedicated to idols. So so the organizer of the meeting decided to hold up a small debate and then separated us into groups, and so one for the argument, one against the argument. So we kind of find evidence in the Bible to support whether it's okay to eat food dedicated to idols. So it's very interesting how most people actually think that we shouldn't, and then even though they are for the argument, we can see that they don't really want to argue for that argument. So, I find that debate quite interesting, because it actually allowed me to face some of my doubts that has been in my heart. So we know that from the Bible, the Lord has commanded us not to eat food that are dedicated to idols and not to have a share in them. But there are also teachings that all creatures are clean because God created them. So there are some sort of evidence that kind of that kind of go with the idea that we cannot eat that food. That kind of turn our focus away from the matter itself and turn it into, I'm not sure if I'm expressing it correctly, but so rather than focusing on whether we should eat a certain plate of food, we should actually be thinking about our hearts, our attitude to God, and our attitude towards our brothers and sisters. And I feel thankful that at the end of our debate, our focus turned towards that way, so more towards the attitude rather than whether we should do this or not. So, I just thought, it kind of helped me in that way that in bringing up a theological topic, we express what our doubt is and what our belief, what we think is right, and then what our doubts are. And then I thank God that He showed us how, in actual fact, when He told us not to do something, there is deeper meaning in it that addresses our heart. And so, yeah.
Weekend there was a guy playing a saxophone, I think, and playing jazz music. And I asked him to play Amazing Grace, and he said, sure. But he played it so jazzed up, I could only recognize the first couple of notes, and after that, I couldn't. The tune was gone, you know, it was so painful. But there's a young kid there that sings and plays guitar, and he sings kind of pop songs. I asked him to play Sing Amazing Grace. He said he knew it, but he wasn't prepared. And then the next week he came and I asked him, and he said, oh, sorry, sir, I forgot. but then a week or two later, he came, and he could sing it. And he sang this version of the song. It was really lovely, hearing this young kid belt out, you know, my chains are gone. And his father introduced himself to me. His father's he's Korean, and he's a pastor of the church. And this boy sings and plays in the church, but he wasn't singing Christian songs when he was busking, but he could sing that song. It was really nice. And yesterday, I was there, and, you know, I was actually singing with him, but you can see my mouth moving anyway, you know. But when he first sang, but yesterday I was far away from him, but I could hear him. And he sang it again, which was really nice. So he didn't just sing it for me, you know, and it was great hearing him, my chains are gone. It was a problem. Oh, I was talking to somebody else. But I also appreciate Rachel's question about Amazing Grace, because it is amazing. And I read these verses this morning. It's from Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, the writer of the psalm is looking at people who are wealthy and comfortable and thinks that he's serving God. What's gone wrong? You know, why aren't I more blessed than them? And he said, I've been plagued all day long and chastened every morning. And he's kind of feeling upset. And he doesn't know what to think. And then the Lord shows him the reality of what the situation is for those people who are against the Lord and have turned away from him. So in verse 21, he says, thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. So I wasn't thinking about rich people and there being comfort and so on, but I was thinking about myself and what I am. And I really related to what followed. This is from Psalm 73 and verse 22. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. God thinking, that's me before the Lord. I'm so foolish and so ignorant. I'm just like an animal. Not, I don't mean in the normal sense, like, you know, behaving like an animal, but I mean so foolish and so ignorant. And then he says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So he thinks this is amazing grace. And this is the grace that I'm happy to sing about.
Recently, Uncle Neil was challenging us to memorize verses, and my little Carmel, of course, has memory verses from school, and they have to try to memorize things. And one of them was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, yeah. So from now on, therefore, we are regarded no one according to the flesh. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. And it was the verse that said, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. Not counting their trespass against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. And yet, so it just reminds me how, like, we are given the ministry of reconciliation. And yeah, just that verse sort of remind me how we're to be at peace with everyone and give them the good news. Yeah, so to reconcile to God. But I just want to share how precious it is to memorize verses and reminding ourselves what's our purpose. And yeah,
response to Vicky's sharing. I come from a family which worship idols. Okay, we were Buddhists, and so as I grew up, of course we had a lot of Buddhist festivals, and we eat food offered to idols. And when I became a Christian, of course I didn't understand all that was said in the Bible. So I did. After I became a Christian, when I was a very young Christian, so I did eat food offered to idol. But because I didn't understand, I had a very clear conscience, because to me, the food was still food and it was still food. But as I grew older and as I mature in Christ, when I read those verses again, I realized that Yeah, God seems kind of spoke to me that, you know, if, yeah, even though you think it's right, but you may stumble other people. Because when someone looking at you, a believer, and you're partaking in something that's offered to idol, it might stumble someone else, even though you think it's right and it's just food to you. And from then on, yeah, I had a clearer picture. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we may feel something is right, but someone looking on may not understand everything, and to them it's not Christian, and idols they don't mix. And after that, yeah, I stop. I try to refrain from taking food offered to idols, because yeah, it will stumble. I think it does. It might stumble other people. Yeah, so that's one thing. So, and I really agree with Vicky as well. In the end, it's the heart attitude. Like someone may do something outwardly, but if their heart is not right with God, then God looks at the heart. Yes, and I do thank God for showing me as I was growing the things that I did that doesn't please Him, and corrected me. The other thing I want to share is the single-minded conference that I attended. One of the things that it opened my eyes to is who are the single people around me. Many times when we hear the term single-minded, single people, we always think of those who are not married. But actually, there's a wider range of people who are single. There are the divorced people. There are the single parents, there are the widowed or the widowers. Actually, there's a lot. And a lot of times we focus on families, couples with children, or the couples or people who are about to get married. But actually, in our church, there is such a wide range of single people who we don't really think about or make an effort to look after. So I'm really glad this conference opened my eyes to all these single people around us, and also that, you know, I'm a married person. But actually, they also pointed out your married life is actually just like sandwich in the middle. As you grow older, your spouse may pass away, and then you become single again. So sometime in our life, we will become. We will experience singleness for those who are married. So I really appreciate. I learned a lot of other things, but I just want to share this with you.
Yeah, I want to share something too. Before I heard, Rachel said, "What is grace to me?" I don't know why God will save a wretch like me. I just want to share a short story. Recently, my little boy went to the swimming lesson. And one afternoon after school, we went together on the way to Seven Hills, the academy, called the training center. It's not far from my place, so we walked there. So on the way, Seven Hills, just one way. It's nearly already past 4:30 something. So that was a peak hour. So all the cars, so both way driving. So just two of us are walking on the way, and. When we pass there is a white car. When we pass that, because we're heading up that way, passing a white car, stop on the side. I just see something. My eyes corner just flash something three times. Maybe they try to say something. I said, I look at the car. The car stopped there, doesn't move. said, oh, what happened? What will happen? I just watched the car. And then with my little one, I said, just walk quickly to the swimming center. And then just 1 second like that, something happened. And then the red car, coming a red car, just hit the white car. Don't know why. Just on the way, just two of us. Don't know. The red car just totally flipped over. So, two of us, I don't know why. But I know God will save a wretch like me. Yeah. You can see the picture, yeah. The white car, we just stand up on the pedestrian side. That was on the best low that afternoon. The red car hit the white car. So the white car already totally written off. And then from the red car came out of four people. One is the driver, with I think who is the son of the four members. And then one mommy came out of the last one. And then from the back seat came out of two sisters. So we just stayed there on the low side and all the... And the white car, I think the tenant came out of the house and then ran the ambulance. They're coming on the way. So I have to go. I said, I just on the way, I tell my little one, I said, why God will save you like that all the afternoon. So the whole low closed. I still remember the day afternoon, yeah. I don't know why the red car, the people just a straight low, no one on the traffic, just totally, because we are here, just at the side of the white car. So that's a single story. Thank you.
Yihong, Sandy passed the mic to me. I would like to share something. I think it's so good because when we gather together, we can give feedback. So what did you share remind me last Sunday? I needed to speak in a Chinese meeting, and after speaking afterwards, two people give me feedback. I'm so glad. I'm so good. I mean, we can those feedback. You know, sometimes the feedback is a positive feedback. You know, positive feedback is you spoke. You encouraged me. Things like that. Positive feedback. Sometimes it's negative feedback, but it's constructive. It's not negative actually. It's constructive. So last Sunday, while after I spoke, two people in different occasion give me feedback. I find it's very constructive. One feedback I don't totally agree. Another feedback I agree. But the feedback I agree I felt very helpful. I think it's very helpful and I appreciate it. The feedback I don't totally agree, and I thought about this. I find it's very helpful as well. And I would like to talk to this person more. To have more fellowship on that issue. So what I try to say is, I really appreciate people can care for you and give feedback, and not only care for you and trust you, so that they think that even I give constructive feedback, negative feedback, you are able to take it. I think this is so good. This is one thing I would like to share. Another thing is Vicky talked about last Friday night. I was there. I was in the same group with Vicky. I enjoyed this is a Chinese youth group. I enjoyed this session. But what Vicky shared, only shared half of the story. Because the meeting last Friday is only a starting point. Like people talk about can we eat this or we can't eat this and things like that. So next Friday will be a thorough Bible study on those issues. But I appreciate that Vicky point is the heart issue. But actually, it's good, yeah. in the Bible it's quite clear. To be clear, let me read the scripture to you. On Acts chapter 15, when the Christian gather together, especially towards the Gentile Christian, do they need to follow, obey all the Old Testament rules, or circumcision, or different requirements from the Old Testament? And when the Christian gather together, the Holy Spirit led them and to understand and have a conclusion. In chapter 15, in 28, verse 28, he said, but my version may not be, I don't have the ESV or King James. Yeah, King James, yeah. 28, he said, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from this, you will do well. So basically, the teaching from the Bible is very clear. If you know this is from the idol, abstain from it. Very clear. But on the other hand, all things. The Lord look at the heart, look at the heart. So all things are, if the Lord provide, all things are from, we can take it. But if we know that this is from has been offered to idol, we learn to abstain from it. It's very clear instruction in the Bible. But on the other hand, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, he says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good for others. And then he said, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising question of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising question of conscience. So the principle is quite clear. But the main thing is the heart. But apart, not only the heart, but the principle is to help us to understand what attitude we should have. So if you want to know more about this issue, you can come next coming Friday. And actually, the purpose of the Bible, the Chinese youth group, these two times is not only for this issue, but for a general issue. When we think about can I do this, should I do that, we should look at a bigger picture. What is the principle? What is the heart? Yeah, but because of time, I share one more thing. John talked about memorizing Bible. When you encourage us, my first attitude is I give up. I won't be able to memorize Bible. I can't. I remember when I was in high school. In uni time, I can memorize a lot of things, even some very complicated chemical formula, the name, the long name, I can memorize quite well. But now I can't. But recently I learned one thing. I learned to memorize one verse or two verses. For example, in the morning I read the Bible, one or two verses catch my heart, and then I will try to memorize them. And my way of memorizing is very primitive. When you memorize, you can read the verse for a few times and then you memorize. Yeah, you can. Many years ago I can, but now I can't. So my way of memorizing is I memorize the first phrase or short sentence, and I memorize. And then I memorize I read the first and the second sentence, and I memorize them. And I read the second and the third sentence, I memorize them. You know what I mean? Repeat, memorize sentence by sentence. And then I can successfully, for example, yesterday morning, I and Yvonne, because in the morning we will, on Saturday morning, we'll try to have time to meditate the Bible or pray. And we can memorize successfully two verses this way. Yeah, and then we pray over this. We meditate and pray on these two verses. And we're so enjoyable, and we find, oh, the Lord's word is so rich. We pray over it because we need, since we have already memorized it, so that when we pray, we can still close up our eyes and focus on our prayer and meditate on the content of the verses. So we are very happy, and I think today these two verses will be the verses of the day. And then at night, I asked Yvonne, can you remember the verse? Guess what? No, can't remember, and I can't remember as well. But I just quickly look at that, and then I can remember, and can remember. You know what I mean? So although my memory has reduced a lot compared with the time I was young, but I can still memorize and benefit from it. But for news challenge, I still not up to it yet. But I'm not memorizing English. English, no way for me now. what I said yesterday, I memorized the Chinese one. Right. But I won't rule the possibility, maybe someday, sometime, I can memorize English. Not verses, the passage, but not now. Maybe later.
Just on Dad's challenges, in Sunday school, and Peter, get ready. In Sunday school, we've taken up one of Dad's challenges, which was to memorize the order of the books of the Old Testament. And this is not really my sharing. I thought I would just help Peter share. Do you think you can say all the books? Not all? How far can you go? Do you want to try? Oh, why not? You're nervous. Okay. Yeah, I think I can. I know. Why don't I say one, you say one? All right. You have the mic.
Exodus, Numbers, Joshua, Ruth, 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles. Ezra, Nehemiah, Job. Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Jonah, Habakkuk. Oh, Nahum. Is it Ephesian? Zephaniah. Haggai? I don't know. Zechariah.
For memorizing chapters, this is a tip that I got from, if anyone remembers Uncle Tony and Auntie Lisa, this is what Uncle Tony mentioned in Bible study a long time ago. And then recently I was like, oh, let's try that, because memorizing a whole chapter seems like really like, oh, so big. So to pick out like the verses that stand out to you first, or like the ones you already kind of know, or like the famous ones, and do those ones first, and then after that fill in the gaps, and that way it's like, oh, that bit's like a bit wavy, but then, oh yeah, I know that bit. And then it's a lot easier to put together. And as well, because sometimes memorizing a whole chapter can take a long time. Well, it depends how hardworking you are, but for me, I'm not very hardworking, so it takes a long time, but at least the ones that I know are going to help me right now in where I am with my walk with God, if I memorize those first, meditate on them, they will already impact my life, rather than maybe Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. Maybe that right now might not help me so much in my walk with God, but if I go down to verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little time if need be you have been grieved by various trials. That verse. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like maybe those two verses will, I know that right now. Maybe I'm finding it hard to like not complain, or maybe I'm going through something difficult. I know that those two verses are the ones that are going to point me closer to God and keep my eyes focused on Him. So I'll pick out those ones to do first, and then I'll go on and be like, oh wait, that's a really famous verse, I already know that one. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, I know that one already, let's do that one. And then it feels like, oh yeah, I've already got it done. And then after you like go through all the famous stuff, then go back and do the tricky ones. And interestingly enough, like when you get a really good grasp of the ones that are like important to you, or the famous ones, or the ones that are always quoted in messages, when you memorize the other verses, you kind of see, oh, this is why there's all these other verses, and you can kind of like see the whole picture, link it all together. It's like, oh, it makes sense now, or it makes even more sense now. So yeah, totally, it's really, really worth it to memorize scripture, so keep it up.
I just want to share something of recently my relationship with my colleagues and some friends around. So firstly, I have to say I'm not a type of person that takes the initiative to evangelize to other people. Like I wouldn't like Uncle Neil, for example, walking to strangers and like share gospel to them. I am not bold enough to do so. But recently I've been thinking, oh, how can I still share gospels? How can I still be a salt and light to other people and still share gospel to other people? And so these 2 weeks particularly, these 3 or 4 weeks this month, I've particularly very tiring from working. I've been work up to 20 hours per week along with my study and Miss M's. So I've been feeling really tired at the same time. And where I'm working now also have the pressure that you need to reach a certain, not that I have to, but there's a certain goal. Because in the retail markets, you need to reach a certain goal. So the people that hire up in the management wouldn't complain to you or things like that happening. So I also have a Christian colleagues that's working with me at the moment, and we are both bearing that kind of pressure in a market that basically has no one coming in. So we do have a high standard, but there's no people coming into the store. And we were like, what can we do? Like, this is so, like, we are bearing so much pressure, we'd have no ways. And so when we were working together, we were like, how about we pray to God about this? How about we pray that if God willings, if He's willing, then bring people coming in, then we could also work faithfully in our work as well, because otherwise we are just like getting paid but not helping out the business to run. And so yes, let's pray. And then very interestingly, while we've been praying, not long after, so in the, basically in the whole morning to 2 o'clock, there's no people coming at all. And then after we pray, we actually have a rush hours. And towards the end, it actually, yeah, reached to the targets that the business has set for us. And this is only, like, to her, it was very encouraging to her because she didn't have a good time with God. And through this, she really felt encouraged. She's the type of person that worries a lot of things, and she also has depression. And so, and after this event and praying, and she was like, I do, like, God is so faithful. And, like, just suddenly he felt that God is really with him, with her. And to me, this is not only the first time that God has answered to my prayer by bringing people in. There's one day I also work for the whole day, but there's no people coming in at all. And I was really, really, sad and upset about myself because I don't want to finish the day with no transaction at all. And also, I feel really guilty towards the business either. And I also pray that God, I can't do anything. I try my best to help the customer, but not like, please, if you could, please bring people in. And then it was very it's very funny that it's till the last 10 minutes, God bring the first and the only last customer into the store. I'm not sure it's difficult for you guys to imagine, but where I've been working is a very quiet place. And so that's what I've been experienced recently with my colleagues, and we are both really thankful for God and how that He has comforted our hearts even in such a stressful time, and that He could help us to work not for ourselves, not for us to try to satisfy our, not to satisfy, but not try to please our boss, but that we work faithfully for Him and know that He will look after us. And the other thing is just these 2 days, particularly on Friday, I think I've been fall back to a series of sin that I have long struggled, and that really brings me away to God. And on yesterday, I finally come back and it's really just like this morning I shared that how amazing is the grace is that even though I know that I've sinned and I'm really shameful and guilty about myself, but I know that God is there, and what I do doesn't change how much He loves me. And so when I come back to Him, very interestingly, yesterday I was going home. I'm going to meet up a friend that I met from a shop. He's actually one of the staff that works in a particular shop. But somehow we just start talking, and then we chat, and we started to chat. And so before a month before we meet up, I kind of have I prayed to God and say, God, if you could, like, I don't know what happens, we just become friends like this. And I think if you didn't permit it, we wouldn't have this kind of relationship. What is your will inside this relationship? If you could you nourish this relationship as well? So that I could share gospel to him, to her, things like that. So yesterday, after I come back to God, interestingly, we have a really good chat about Christianity. So I didn't start it asking her first, and she was like, what brings you to God, and how come did you end up believing Jesus? And we just having this long chat together, and it was like, oh, God knows that I'm not a bold person to take the initiative to ask people, and But he knows his, he knows myself, and that he also, how do I start? Like, he started the job first before I, if that makes sense. Like, he just prepared the other person's heart before I even take the initiative. And I'm just really thankful about this, for this,
That's all we have time for in terms of sharing. We do have a WhatsApp group, Open Friends WhatsApp group. If you have something to share but you haven't got a chance to share here, you're quite welcome to share on that WhatsApp group. So we're going to prepare ourselves now for the next half of the meeting, which is the Lord's table. If you're a believer and you have been baptized, you're welcome to join us. If not, when the cup and the bread pass to you, please pass it on. Don't take it if you have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus. Okay, prepare for the next half.